the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home. Again, it's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Herbalist Path. I'm really excited that today I'm bringing a guest to you who is a fellow clinical herbalist and herbal product maker. Her name is Mary McCollum, and she runs Sierra Roots Wellness out of Sierra Nevadas in California. Her products are amazing, and I think you're really going to dig her story too. So thank you, Mary, for coming on, and thank you to your neighbors for letting you be there for this show, and I'm super excited. I know that I left out a ton about you. Is there anything like quickly that you want to say about you and who you are in your intro?
Thanks, Mel. I'm really happy to be here and really excited to connect with more of your community. And I think you did a great job with my intro. I mean, awesome. You got my name, where I live. I'm in my neighbor's living room because my internet is not always great.
That's the good mountain living, right? Like, how do we navigate this? We deal with internet outage issues often where we live.
Yeah, it's always a fun dance. But I'm sure that we're going to have a lot of time to get into other tidbits and details about who I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. Well, I know that you live a pretty off-grid lifestyle, which I know is a really, really groovy way to go. And I would love to hear a little bit about like what you guys are doing on your land and how you live that kind of lifestyle. I think a few of my mama listeners would love to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Mel mentioned, we're in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. We're on Washoe land, which is in proximity, like close to Lake Tahoe, and we're closest to the town of Truckee. But we are off the highway, back in the woods, and we live in a community called Russell Valley. And there's about 30-ish homes out here on land. And we were lucky enough 3 years ago, actually this month, to land on this turf and call it home and start putting down some roots. And we currently live in a tiny house with my 11-year-old stepson and with my husband. And we have two Great Pyrenees and two cats and ducks. And we are completely off-grid. So what that means for people that are like, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be off grid? Is that
probably what I was going to say? How do you do that?
We are not tied into the grid, meaning we don't pay an electric bill or power bill every month. And we run primarily off solar energy. We have a backup generator for if for some reason we're not getting enough solar, which up here in the high Sierras, we're at about 6,000 feet. So we do get some big snowstorms. So in those times, we can turn the generator on and hope that it's not too cold for our pipes to freeze and all the other stuff. But yeah, we're really committed to living in this way. We haul, we do have a well that was on the land when we arrived on the land, but for all of our drinking water, we haul spring water from a nearby spring. So we're very dedicated into drinking living water and use the other water for bathing and other things. And right now we are building a house, which we actually purchased a manufactured house. This is the real fun twist, because out of all the things you would think we would do, this was the last on our list. We like went through like, oh, we want to build a straw bale house. We want to build a, you know, just a really sweet stick house. And then it came down to three people and a preteen living in a tiny home, and the rest is presently where we are. So we decided to go with a manufactured home company that's actually outside of Oregon and near your neck of the woods, Mel. And manufactured homes have come so far as like the materials they use and all of the pieces to it as far as durability. And so we are building a unfinished 8-foot basement, and then the house will go on top of that with a wraparound deck and lots of more plans for plants and things like that to be equated into the picture. Definitely a greenhouse, because we're at a bit of a tricky area, area for growing medicine. And we're surrounded by, just to also give people a picture, because I think I like thinking about these things as I'm painting the picture. Like, we live in the forest, but we also have access to meadow, and we have a really sweet mix of like living within the ponderosa and Jeffrey pine forest and lots of sagebrush and bitterbrush, but then the meadowland is like beautiful lush wildflowers, and yeah, really sweet. So there's the off-grid life, you know, that was like the me painting the picture, but you know,
that's the dreamy life for sure. I love that.
Yeah.
One thing I heard you say in there multiple times, one particular word that struck me was that you said we're really dedicated. Mm-hmm. And I just want to hear quickly, like, dedicated. What are you dedicated to in that off-grid life? What is your like core heart reason and being for doing that kind of work? Because it takes work mm-hmm. to live that kind of life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the question. And I think that our dedication really like stems and is rooted from this willingness and wantingness to be connected with the land. And that means to be connected with the land that we're living on, as far as acknowledging, right, the first peoples and the present people of this land, acknowledging all the plants that have been there long before us and all the other beings and the animals. And we feel really committed to living here and building our home here. Obviously, we're doing that. But the dedication comes from that place of wanting to, like, for better lack of a phrase, like really be ones with nature more so, and having to work a little harder in order to live more deeply. And that does come with like with some suffering. And I feel that every winter when I'm chopping firewood, I'm just like, gosh, like my grandma or my great great grandma, like they were doing this too, you know? And like, I use that as, you know, I guess, force to fuel, you know, when I'm feeling like I can't take this anymore, or the pipes are frozen for the third day in a row. But it's also things that make us stronger as a family and give us more life experience. And I especially think about raising a child, let alone a preteen, and teaching him things that he would not otherwise know growing up, you know, fully living in a city life. And like, it's like, he knows what to do if, you know, he needs a way to feed himself and keep warm. And he's just doing that without having power, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time. And he knows how to chop firewood, and he knows how to, you know, raise animals and all of these things and grow food. We feel are so important in growing up. And I wish I had more of when I was a child.
I love those answers very, very much, because they're very near and dear to me as well. And like, the whole reason I got into herbalism was for my deep passion and love and connection to nature and wanting more of that. And I think that's one of the great benefits of using plants as medicine. Like, one, you live amongst so many that grow natively, and it sounds like you're going to have a greenhouse and be able to grow even more medicine, which is so stinking empowering. And when we raise our kids able to know these kinds of gifts and these skills, it really mm-hmm. takes me back. Like, my background's in environmental and experiential ed. And before I even knew I would have a child and become a mama, I knew that I wanted to help more kids be connected to nature. Richard Bloom's right. book, Last Child in the Woods, I was like, that will not happen. I am going to do what I can to help more and more people. And at that point in time, that was like, I don't know when his book came out, but my mindset in that realm was the late 90s to early 2000s. And I was like, this needs to change, because I also didn't really have that. I mean, I played outdoors all the time and, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things, but that was just because I came from a poor family, and that's what you do. You go outside and you play, you know, right. And you know, I'm so grateful for that. Like my family trips as a kid were camping. That was our mm-hmm. vacation all of the time. Yeah. There was one thing I wanted to point out that you spoke about. Oh, the chopping wood thing. Like,
yeah.
I love personally chopping wood and going out to harvest our own wood, because the way I look at it is like, it's a great workout. So you're warming your body up and getting all this great exercise to later warm your body up and keep your home right. healthy and well. So that's something I've always really, really enjoyed deeply. And I know it's like a big, big, big chore. And there's definitely those days when I'm like, it's cold. I don't want to go outside and chop wood before I get warm, but. What a reward in so many different ways.
Right. And it is that intrinsic way of like really tuning into your body or your ancestors' bodies and lives. And it's like, we all had to do this or have to do this in some capacity to take care of ourselves. And that's how I feel when I do it, where it's like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, I really don't want to do it. But then it's like, the nourishment on every level, like, is so full circle that I feel so grateful that this is the way that I get to heat my home.
Yeah.
And, and it's very, very sweet. And we're also, you know, supporting the forest in that sense, you know, clearing dead trees or fallen trees. So there's that too. You probably have a lot more to say than me about that, because you're the, you have the background.
But. About gathering the wood and where we're getting it from. I mean, right now where we are, I'm so paranoid, and you probably might be too, but just the fire situation that our planet is feeling more and more every single year, it crushes my heart. And when I hear you describe where you're at, I'm like, oh no, that's such a fire prone territory. It sounds very dry compared to where I am. I'm in a very, very luscious green, typically what has always been a very wet climate, but it's not so wet anymore. And fires are happening very close to us too. And certainly not where I intended to go on this podcast interview, but it's heavy on my mind these days.
Yeah.
Love of the planet and the connection. And I guess maybe my hope is that the more people that do develop that kind of connection to the land and to our ancestors and to plants, the more there's a shift in desire to make a difference on this planet, which clearly we need to do in major, major, major ways. And it's also clear that our government doesn't give a damn. And what we need to, my daughter gives a damn when I say the word damn. I love you. that's $2. But they don't care, you know, they're not making the changes. And so we, as humans, we need to make those changes on our individual level. So thank you, number one, for doing that. And let's talk about plants. Let's talk about you and your journey and your path into herbalism. How did you start in the world of plant medicine? I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways, when they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could talk about just this piece forever, but just, yeah, I think to
start a podcast about it,
right? How I got started with plants, and then every episode could now be more of that.
Part 276.
Yeah. And on and on. But yeah, I think I want to share that, you know, I did have, like we spoke a little bit about just connection to nature as children. And I did have that. I was, you know, privileged enough to have woods to wander around. And I think that was my first connection to really acknowledging these other beings and like just noticing, you know, flowers and maybe my mom, you know, giving me little whispers here and there about like, oh, this plant is good for this. And my mom was like really into making like salve and elderberry syrup as a kid. So I had a little bit of that. But then as I grew more into my own self, I experienced some chronic illness when I was in my late teens and through my 20s, and autoimmune disease. And that is really what pulled me into, like I said the other day in a post, I was like, was it my jumping off point or was it my jumping in? Because I feel like I was able to jump in. And after working with allopathic medicine, I really felt like they didn't have anything for me. And that's when I like had that remembrance. I'm like, what about the plants? And I was actually getting ready to go to nursing school could then become a nurse practitioner and on and on. And it was literally in a backyard conversation I had with a friend who was studying botany. He's like, have you heard of NUNM? And literally, like, my mind completely shifted and my heart became set on pursuing a, I still had to do like prerequisites for nursing school. And then I ended up doing one of the pre-med programs at NUNM. And, you know, continued through herbalism school and studying with different mentors, and still am in that place. But I guess one other thing I didn't touch on too is that was more of my personal journey with how I got brought closer to the plants and working with plant medicines daily and in my business. But my mom was also very sick around the time I was 18 years old, and she had a really, really serious reaction to a pharmaceutical drug that actually landed her in a coma, an induced coma for months. So that was another thing that really was like, it was the stuff with mom. And then I went through my own stuff where I was like, there has got to be more to this, more ways we can heal and support the body than just taking pharmaceuticals. So yeah.
Wow. That's heavy. Coma for months. That's so scary. I love that you went to NUNM too. Does that mean you lived up here and went to NUNM?
Yes.
Yay.
Yes,
I know. I love those halls. Like, I just feel so Same. Good inside of those halls of just like the sound of the footsteps going down the thin wood stripped hallways. I love it. And the smell of the air in there. I didn't know that about you. I love that. And I find that there's so many great people that do have that little fine balance. I've done many classes at NUNM. I did not get any degree or anything along those lines, more community classes and the traditional Roots Institute and great supplemental herbal classes, which is great, right? But back in the 90s, I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I remember like flipping through their paper catalog book because, you know, the internet wasn't such a big thing back then. And I was like, I'm going to go here. I'm going to become a naturopath. And, you know, I was 18, 19, 20. I never did become a naturopath, but I did go there and I've gotten to teach like community herbalism classes there, which is such a great honor. But how cool to hear that. Did you not fully pursue all the way through those years or?
Yeah. And that was, I can thank my lovely husband for that. It was actually shortly after we met and we were going to do some crazy, you know, even longer, long distance things. And, you know, I really felt like I was at a point in my life where I had a great foundation and that I could continue that just working more within the study of herbalism. And I still do have that burning fire. I think it'll always be there. I'm like, should I go back to school? And also because I have a pre-med degree, so I have all of the classes, like if I wait, you know, whatever they say, 7 years, then I'm going to have to do it all over again. Now it's like, if I waited like 3 years. But the degree that I did was in integrative health. So it was kind of a nice balance of having the typical pre-med stuff like anatomy and physiology and physics and all the stuff that you have to have. But then like my electives and like the alternative, more Eastern side was where I had so much fun. And that was like, I spent all of my time in the herb classes and an herb lab with Dr. Wieman and loved.
Did you learn with Glenn too?
Yeah. I also learned with Glenn and did the trip with him a couple years to go up to Orcas Island and work with Ryan Drum. And yeah, Glenn is amazing.
I love him. I love Ryan too. They're both hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many sweet connections at NUNM. Like, and that's part of, I'm like, I was like, oh, should I go back maybe someday? Is that, yeah, like you said, it was just such a sweet community. And I really felt like just so held and supported as a student and so much, almost too much access to like fun stuff, classes and the garden and shadowing and mentoring, like in clinic and all the things. So it was like, it was really, really fun. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if my smile can get any bigger on my face. For anybody listening to this, it's giant because I'm getting all those feels about being in those halls and the community connections and thinking of Ryan Drum and thinking of Glenn Nagel and just all the beautiful healers that have been born out of those walls. I mean, yes, they were born before also, but beautiful, beautiful space and whole thing. So I want to kind of touch back, if you don't mind, on your personal journey and your autoimmune disease and how that really transitioned you into the world of herbal medicine and how it impacted you. Like, tell me a little bit more about that whole
thing. The details, the diagnosis. As people want to know. So I will share that I started taking birth control from a young age. So this is just a piece of it is why I'm sharing that.
Can I interrupt really quickly?
Yeah.
Just a piece of it. As I'm writing down notes to talk about in a moment, we're going to get back to the story, but I love that you talked about how in your pre-med, you talk a lot of anatomy and physiology, and now you're talking about just a piece of your health history story. And I'm just interrupting for a moment for my listeners, because I think a common misconception in the land of plant medicine, with people being more and more curious about herbalism today, they want that instant fix pill that we get from the pharmaceutical industry. But we really need to look at our whole health history, our whole mental state, our whole physical activity. What are we eating? We are whole, beautiful beings. And if you want to step away from the pharmaceutical industry and you want to turn to more natural healing remedies, you got to start changing the way you think and stepping away from the take this for that to fix all of the things, and recognize that every little piece of your story is just another piece of why whatever is happening in your body is happening. Sorry to interrupt you. I just had to say that.
Love it. Praising that in every way. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah.
And I'll probably touch a little bit more too, just in my story with those pieces. So thank you, Mel. And so with the birth control from an early age, like, I'm just putting that in the picture, because from the age of 15, my hormones were still, you know, developing, and my body was changing, and then I was having them altered by pharmaceuticals. So around age 18, I started to have severe pelvic pain, and then was able to get a diagnosis for endometriosis. And post of that I had 3 surgeries to have endometriosis and cysts removed from the pelvic area, and would feel relief when I had the surgeries, but then also felt like it came back, like with a vengeance, even worse. And then at the time I was still on birth control, like still, you know, trying to work within Western medicine, but just still experiencing a lot of pain and suffering and trying natural things, but not really knowing what I was doing and reading books. And then I went through a really traumatic time when my parents actually got a divorce in my early 20s, and I was in a relationship that was very emotionally, not good for me at the time. And then I started having all these other things come up with my body, weight loss and some digestive symptoms that were coming up. And then I got a diagnosis for celiac disease. So it was really this cascade of things that allowed for me to take this deeper look into, wow, what is going on in my body physically, emotionally, and what does my body need? And the piece around trying to work within the system was that Western medicine, it's like, if I would have continued to go the route with endometriosis, it would just be like, keep having surgery, which also meant more scar tissue and other things. And I felt like when I got the diagnosis for celiac, I was like really ready to make a change. And that was right about the time that I started school at a community college in Reno to do my prereqs for nursing school. And I remember going to, because I had just like fiddled through herb or books and like online, even, I mean, that was like, you know, a while ago, but even still, there wasn't great resources online then. But I remember going to the herb shop in Reno, which I still have a great relationship with this darling man, his name is Tom, at Truckee Meadow Herbs, and picking up Rosemary Gladstar's book, Healing Herbs for Women. And that was like when it changed for me. I was like, I have access to making some formulas for myself and trying these things. And it was like some of those formulas that I made, mostly teas, I think is what I was working with. And I started doing a lot of pelvic steaming and just tuning into my cycles. I got off the birth control. I changed, of course, my whole diet. I stopped eating gluten, but I started to look deeper at the ways in which my gut wanted to and needed to heal and how herbs could help with that so much. So, now I'm like emotional, you know, just like every time I talk about it, because it is, I think, so powerful. And that's what you were sharing before I got started. And what I want to share with listeners is that we all have the ability to tune in and to listen to our bodies. And these things, the herbs, foods, or whatever else, they don't need to feel so far out of reach. They can be accessible, and they are accessible. And that doesn't mean that you have to be the only one reading the book. That means you can take classes, you can go to herb school, you can do research, or you can work with an herbal practitioner. And I really think that that is what I want to share, because you don't have to do it alone. And healing has never been a thing that is meant to do alone, but just with your own intuition and listening, it can open up that vessel to take you where you and your body and spirit want to go.
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas? You don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
I think that is so beautiful, wonderfully said. Like, it is really important. Like, one, to empower yourself and start to discover these different plants and different healing modalities for yourself, and tuning in to your body and what's happening and the plants and how they may impact you, but also to be open to receiving help from the outside. I know for me, that's incredibly helpful because you can get really wrapped up in all those books and those classes and all that learning. And you can suddenly like become this big conglomeration of like, I need to do all of the things. But if you do take the time to allow yourself to work with another practitioner, whether it's another herbalist or a naturopathic mm-hmm. physician or some type of integrative practitioner, you get that outside perspective that helps you say, oh, right, I need that. Like I needed your help. This healing journey does not need to be a solo journey. That's mm-hmm. that's really brilliant. I don't think anybody's really talked about that on my show. And it's so, so important. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks yeah. for listening, everybody.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that the hormonal issue is really a huge thing that so many people are dealing with today. And even more than that is the gut health and, mm-hmm. and being able to like do the work to heal the gut. And I'm going to touch back on it because I keep hearing this like, Mel, what herb do I take for this one problem? You know, just recognizing that it is a whole big picture and it's beyond mm-hmm. just the herb. It is the shift in your diet and stopping to eat gluten and doing the other things. But if you were to like look back on that journey right now, I usually narrow this down to one, but because I heard a lot of your story, I'm like, there's no way there's just one. and there's never a way there's just one. But I would love to just hear a few of the plants that helped you and were most impactful in your healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think thinking back to the stuff centered more around the endometriosis and healing my menstrual cycle. I'm, you know, everybody's probably tired of hearing this, but like raspberry leaf was there for me, like, and a really simple and accessible herb that I started making myself raspberry leaf or nettle, or sometimes the combination of both infusions, and like drinking that throughout the whole day. And those were really helpful allies early on. I also think ginger was so, so powerful for me with working with pain, especially menstrual cramping and pain. And I would do that like as a tea, but also like in an infused castor oil, like mm-hmm. life-changing was the ginger infused castor oil. And I still love that to this day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things.
I think those are great. Let's yeah. dive deeper on each one of those, like for the yes. red raspberry leaf, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's very commonly known, at least in our minds, as experienced herbalists, as what a great helper it can do and be for women. But break that down for us a yeah. little bit, if you don't
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, of course.
And like, why do you think it helped you?
Yeah. So red raspberry leaf. Well, I guess I should preface in that if Mel's probably already shared this with you, you know, if you follow her, if you're on, you know, her Instagram or you listen to the podcast, but herbs have energetics, meaning herbs affect our tissue states of our body. And that's usually equated like in temperature, right? So some herbs are cooling, some are warming. Some herbs are more also astringent or right. Like, moistening. So just to give a little context, even though that is like a whole other,
section of herbalism to learn. Yeah.
Right. Red raspberry leaf would be considered up on the scale of a more tonic and astringent herb. And, it does have an affinity for the uterus. It also has affinity for some of the digestive organs as well. So if you're working with red raspberry leaf, you can also know that it's also, you know, supporting your uterus if you have one, and also supporting the digestive organs as well. But it's also extremely mineral rich. And this is something that I can't, you know, also not talk enough about, especially in today's age, but we are all mineral deficient. Mm-hmm. Even if we're eating the best foods, it's just the way our foods are grown, even if they're organic and they're grass-fed, we're still not getting enough because of how stripped the topsoil was and how little nutrients are put back in. So again, whole nother tangent, but raspberry leaf is really rich in minerals, and those minerals are literally food for the cells in our body. And our uterine lining, right, needs minerals to function well and efficiently and in a productive and healthy way. So found minerals in raspberry leaf, like manganese is a really big one, magnesium, calcium, all of like the amazing vitamins, vitamin K, B, you probably know more. I'm just like shooting off ones from memory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking you to be a textbook on it.
So. Okay, good. Well, there's my mini text answer.
Yeah. I mean, you're so right. It's so important. And I think a lot of us don't recognize that we are so mineral deficient all across the board. So funny, because my partner and I, my family, we were just down visiting my family outside of Eugene, Oregon, and driving around some of the farmlands. And this is just this weekend. And I was just like, looking at the dirt, and we're like, that dirt looks so stripped. It looks so depleted. And it is. And he's like, oh, I want that much dirt. But when we do, can we just build the soil again and get those nutrients back in? And that's our food that we're being fed in masses in this country. And that is why there is so much chronic illness across the board. And we have to start looking at it on that very big picture scale. Like, how can we change these food and agriculture systems? And if you don't have the power or energy to change it on the big scale, changing it for yourself and your family is so important. That's really great. And as we're talking about that, and you mentioned nettles, I can't help but like make that lead up to nettles.
Right. I know. I was like, just thinking, I'm like, and then there's nettles.
Yeah.
And nettles, yeah, are really like, I call them a powerhouse is what I think about. It's like nettles, you don't need the multivitamin, or maybe some people do, but I say, just have a nettle infusion every day. Like, it is immense, the amount of amazing trace minerals and vitamins, chlorophyll, right, that you can get from nettles. And nettles are also very specific for inflammation. And if somebody's having a lot of histamine, which is more of like the allergic pathway of the body, to, again, to just be giving like a brief description of all of this. And yeah, my body was going through something where it was like, I was inflamed, and nettles can help to add those nutrients back into the blood, back into the cells, back into the body. And also they have this beautiful, like, anti-inflammatory and diuretic effect too. So if there's things that need to help to be moved in the blood and the fluids of the body, nettles are just one of a lot of amazing herbs that we'll do that. And can't say enough good about nettles. Eat them, drink tea, put them in your herbal salts.
Yeah.
Nettles and everything.
Yes, absolutely. More nettles. I think there's like one time that I wouldn't really, one particular circumstance that I wouldn't really recommend nettles. And that's like, if you're very elderly and brittle and your bones are very weak and you're dry, you know, I might not recommend nettles then, but pretty much everybody else, get on the nettles train. Yeah. And I love that you're talking about these two, because I can be guilty of not nourishing myself in the morning, because I am like, oh, I'm homeschool mom, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm feeding my kid, but I don't eat the same food all the time as her. And I forget to feed myself. And I did this the other day while I was bleeding, and I'm going through my own kind of situations right now. And yeah. I remember like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really tired and I didn't eat and this is not good. And I decided to make a red raspberry leaf and nettle giant infusion. I added some Tulsi in there, and it was really, really beautiful. And I made it very, very strong. I felt so much better. Like, within like 2 hours, I was like, was that the herbs? I think, do you ever have this happen? Like, you know so much about herbs and you use them and they become a daily part of your life and it's just what you do, right? But then you forget like how really healing they are until you make this like reconnection. I don't know if you have that, but I totally definitely have many times in life, like even with my product line formulas, like formulated them so many years ago and people would write to me and be like, oh, this works so great for this and so great for that. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I wouldn't even like be drinking it because I didn't need it for whatever it was. And then later I'll like try it or I'll be making it and I'm looking at all the ingredients that I put in there and I'm like, oh, right. That's why people are reaching out to me saying these kinds of things, because they are incredible and powerful herbs. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Side tangent definitely. In my room.
No, I love the tangents. And that definitely happens to me all the time, because I think, you know, as you're sharing, like as herbalists and having this just be so much a part of our day to day, that sometimes that is part of the routine where it's like we make the tea or we make the thing or we're taking something, right? And it's like, yeah, we just want to make a mineral infusion because we're feeling like we need it. And then we get sidetracked and then we're like, oh, we feel a lot better, mm-hmm. you know? And I do think specifically, like we were talking about, like mineral rich herbs, like you're sharing, like can be really amazing for most bodies. And I think, again, like to highlight what you shared, Mel, that would be similarly my recommendation, is like they can be very drying, very, very drying, especially things like nettles and raspberry. So you can always either, maybe not like you said, best for if somebody has a really dry constitution or for elderly folks, or if you live in a very, very dry area, or if you're wanting to work with those and see, you know, how that works with your body, then you can balance that out with adding some licorice root or some marshmallow root or something moistening in there to balance out the dry energetics, but still get all those yummy, amazing nutrients.
Awesome point for sure. I have a few questions I want to segue into.
Yeah.
Before I do, I know that you are a bonus mama. Or are you the stepmama? You got a bonus kid. Either way, you have a beautiful human in your family that you help take care of. And so I talk to a lot of mamas on this show, and they're learning how to use herbs safely for their kiddos. And I would love to hear, like, obviously it sounds like this little guy is super connected, which is amazing. Well, does he have a favorite herb? And if not, or whatever, what do you think is the most number one important herb for your family?
Yes. I love these questions. The number one, the number one is going to be hard, but
yeah, I know. Yes. It's impossible.
The sweet child that I get to raise half the time, my bonus son, as I call him, his name is Rom. He loves herbs and he is like so intelligent with them, because I've been teaching him about herbs since he's been in my life, which was age 5. And I love that when we are outside, he's always just like, and the granted this for other moms, he knows, right? Because I have time and time again said, don't put that in your mouth unless you know what it is. But he's always like chewing on pine needles when we're like out in the forest, or he'll be like, can I eat this, you know, thing, if he's not sure. And he loves like plantain. And whenever somebody gets hurt, he's always like very quick to be like, oh, I have to go find the plantain, you know, and
I love that.
make a spit poultice. I'm like, oh, it just melts me. And you know, if I don't know if I had to choose one for him, he really loves, and this is a great thing again, because kids usually hate bitter taste because they don't have as many of the bitter like taste receptors, but he loves bitter things. Whenever like I give him, he like loves taking tinctures. Like the other day he was really stuffy and congested, and I put some yerba santa tincture and elderberry syrup, and he literally like chugged it and was like, I loved that. Like, okay, like, who else would say that about yerba santa? It's very very strong.
Yeah,
but I'm like, now I'm really trying to think of what He likes, I just think he likes bitter herbs, which, so he likes things like yarrow, you know, as a tincture, or like eating yarrow when it's fresh and growing. He does have like his little personal stash in his loft, and I have like a lavender tincture for him that he will take if he feels like he needs some help with sleep. He also loves like all the tummy herbs. Fennel's probably one of his most favorites, and he has a couple tummy tinctures because he can be prone to getting belly aches sometimes, as all kiddos can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as far as like, what is the most important herb for our family?
so hard. So one, I'm going to say how awesome it is that he loves bitters if he's dealing with the digestive tummy aches and issues like that.
Right.
Can you quickly just talk about like why bitters would be important in that time?
Yeah, definitely. Well, also we'll say that bitters are just not a food group that we really are that exposed to, especially eating a more standard American diet, or even just eating the way most Americans eat. You know, we eat very heavy or, you know, like rich foods, and we're not getting as many of those bitter flavors. So incorporating bitters, whether that is through food or through herbal medicine, is something that can actually help to jumpstart digestion and give our body the clue that, hey, we need to be digesting food. Let's start to get, you know, the digestive fire going. And that's why it's usually given, you know, in the mouth as like a spray, or swished, you know, like in a little water, is because it stimulates the taste buds to start the first sign of digestion, which would normally be chewing our food, right? To start to do its work. And it's so supportive, yeah, to the liver and all the pieces of digestion. Can help to assimilate nutrients. I'm like thinking about like the whole picture now of what's happening in the gut. Yeah. Bitters are amazing. And bitters can be used in conjunction, right? It doesn't have to be something that tastes super bitter. Again, this goes back to energetics. Like some people may do really well with something like artichoke as a bitter, but other people might need artichoke with some ginger or with something warming in there. So I fully believe in finding the right bitters for the person. Mm-hmm. And not overdoing it on the super cold bitters for everybody. Mm-hmm. Meaning that most herbs that are bitter are also cold and how they affect the tissue state. But okay, now I'm just getting all
clinically, winically. Okay, I'm gonna go back on that one more time and just let's talk about fennel for a bit, because it is such an easily accessible herb, and it's a fantastic herb for kiddos. So I like to talk about fennel a lot. We definitely bring it up for many different things inside of Apothecary Mama. And you know, it's a food, and we forget about that. So let's talk about how fennel can be really helpful for our kiddos.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fennel is delicious. Number one, most people like the taste. Mm-hmm. It's warming, and it's really specific for when there's bloating and gas and tension. It does have some antispasmodic properties, especially in the belly. So great for if your kiddo is like, Mom, I just ate way too much and I feel like my tummy feels really full, and they, you know, might have like what we would consider a bellyache, which is probably from bloating and tension, in the gastrointestinal system. So fennel could be great employed there, and that could be in a tea. Also fennel glycerite, which is like a non-alcoholic tincture made with glycerin. And I'm also, I think each mama for, you know, their own, like I give ROM tinctures. Obviously it's all about with kids. It's all about dosage. So I wouldn't give him a dosage that I would give an adult. You know, I give him a few drops and, you know, and see how he does with it. Fennel, amazing.
It's such good stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much. So as I listen to you, I really love what you're saying, because you do look at it as this holistic approach and the whole body approach. And, I now know you went pre-med and went to NUNM, and you work with people individually on their healing journey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit more about that? I know I have a lot of people that reach out to me and want me to work with them. And while that's how I'm trained, it's not what I'm doing today. So if I can point them to great healers to help them on their journey, I would love to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to share. So other than making medicines, the other part of my business is doing wellness consultations, and I work one-on-one with folks, ranging from kids to elderly. And I have two different types of consultations, one that I call acute and then one that is comprehensive. So that basically just means like somebody wants, say that they have, right, that they are sick with a virus, or they have a sore throat, or they have a cough, then that's where I'm like, schedule the acute, let's get you in right away. And in those sessions, we spend a lot of time going deeper into health history. And I really try to get an understanding of what is going on physically with the tissue states of their body, and maybe thinking about their constitution and thinking about, you know, previous health stuff, present health stuff. And then I come up with herbal formulas for them that are tailored specifically to their needs and their constitution and their healing goals. And then, with the comprehensive, it's the same thing, but it's much longer, like an hour versus 2 hours. And just, yeah, the main difference is that we can sometimes address several different things they're wanting to work on. Like if somebody is like, I want to work on digestion, but I also have headaches, and oh yeah, like I've had this pain in my foot that is going on, then the comprehensive is a little bit more supportive for multiple ailment needs. And other than herbs, yeah, we also talk about, I have a background, you know, with some training in nutrition. So we also talk about foods and incorporating supportive foods for what is, you know, going on at that, their state of being, and sometimes lifestyle recommendations. And oftentimes there's also some, here we are back to minerals, essential nutrients, and often supplements that, if applicable for the individual person, that can be added in. But most of the time, those are going to be things I try to get people to receive through foods or food-based supplements. But sometimes those will come through in other ways. And I have a link where you can schedule an appointment on my website, which I'm sure Mel will include in the...
I'll definitely link it in the show notes. But what is your website?
It's sierrarootswellness.com. How easy.
Yeah, I know. So easy. Easy for you because you live it, breathe it, do it, be it. Now it's easier for the listeners because they just heard it. So
yeah.
Awesome. And then I think what's really cool is like you formulate for a lot of these people, which is really important because herbs can really be specifically tailored to you and what your mm-hmm. symptoms are and your whole being, the whole big picture. So you also make good medicine, though I know you can't call it medicine. You make great herbal products.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to hear about, I want my listeners to hear too about this recent fire you had. Let me know, because maybe some of these people want to help support you in recovering from that. So from what little I know, you recently in the past few months had a fire in your medicine making, I'm going to call it a she shed. I don't know what it was exactly, but you lost everything. And that's mm-hmm. really traumatic when your way of living is bringing plants to the people and making those connections and helping others. So yeah. Share what happened there.
Yeah. Well, as I also shared, like, right, we're in a tiny house, so there's no way I could be doing everything in there. So upon arriving at the land, we set up an apothecary for me at the top of the land. And That was, until the fire happened, my primary space for creation and talking with clients and all things that come with running a business. And yeah, unfortunately, we had a tragic fire late spring, and it was from a wood stove. Speaking of chopping wood and all these things too, it's like we had a really like uncharacteristically high wind storm. And literally within like a matter of 7 minutes, the wood stove caught on fire and caught the corner of the building on fire. And even still, like, we caught it like so quickly. But yeah, the sheer heat of the fire, as we know, fire is hot. It melted a lot of things, melted all of my precious bulk herbs that were in big tough boxes in the lofts, and destroyed a lot of stuff. And was a really big hit to my business and just, yeah, how I was making a living. And I have since been here. I said, how can I make things in the tiny house? But that's what I've been doing now, because I can't stop. Like, this is my livelihood, and this is how, part of how I support my family and myself. And I don't have the choice to just stop and pick back up again. So I received some generous donations and got back on my feet and have been making medicine in my tiny house and set up our solar panel shed, basically, as like my little temporary apothecary with, you should see it, it's crazy. There's just like shelves all along the walls, but I've been making it work, but I am really ready to get back into the apothecary, and we're really close. And it's actually a great thing we're talking about now, because we did put a GoFundMe out and we never reached the GoFundMe goal. And partially, I mean, if I'm being honest, is because I got very tired of trying to like promote the fact that I had a tragedy. Like, it was really hard for me to do that as a business owner when I want to be sharing beauty with the world, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very much a part of my story, and I was and am very well supported, but like, we're still in that sticky part at the end here, where it's like, I have a friend doing all the work who also has a full-time construction job and is a dad and a husband, but I've been paying him, and I'm trying to purchase the last things right now, but figuring out how I'm going to do that is hard with all the other facets of life and business. So the GoFundMe is still up, and if people also feel better about purchasing a product from me and supporting me that way, that's also great. Or scheduling a consultation, like, anything helps just in keeping Sierra Roots Wellness living, alive, and reaching, you know, all of you in the ways that it wants to. So thank you.
Yeah, I think a lot of my listeners will want to help and want to support. So if it's okay with you, I will link the GoFundMe in the show notes of this episode. And then, of course, I will link Sierra Roots Wellness so they can find your herbal products, which, by the way, I see you on Instagram and your products look amazing. And I'm very snobberific when it comes to my herbal products. So they look really, really wonderful. It's definitely something I would recommend to people that come to me. So thank you for making good, not medicine.
healing agents.
Yes. Great herbal products. Yes. That is incredible. Yeah. So I would love to link to that. And then, you know, of course, if they want really great access to awesome herbal products and to working with you, because you do sound really, really brilliant, compassionate, caring, and able to look at the whole big picture, which I think is so important. I know it's important. I don't think it, I know it. and I think that there's a few people out there that enlist their services to the masses, but maybe don't have that background and knowledge and wisdom to help truly heal people from the inside out. So
right.
It's a gift that needs to be spread to more.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to link to your Instagram because it's always so, so pretty. And I'm going to link to your website. I'm going to link to your GoFundMe too. And hopefully some of my listeners will be like, heck yeah, I want to support this. And then what else do you want to share with the listeners of the Herbalist Path? Like anything.
Anything.
Herbalism, life, sustainability, any of the things.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that I want to share is, and what we've already touched on in the podcast and even when we were chatting beforehand, is just this pull that maybe so many of us feel and to herbs and wanting to incorporate herbs into our homes, into our families, into ourselves. And if you feel the pull, like, go for it. And just like we were speaking about when in the personal healing journey, it's like, don't feel afraid to call on different teachers and different styles of learning and finding what works for you and knowing that it can be something that you want to dabble in or it can be a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. I also liked the question on the interview, the questions that Mel sent me, which was like, one of the questions, now I'm giving it away, was like, what do you consider, it was something like, what do you consider, you know, an herbalist, or how do you, something like that, right?
Yeah, when are you officially an herbalist? Something right. along those
and
lines.
I loved that inquiry. And because I think herbalism is still something for a lot of people that can seem really far out of reach. And then people are like, oh, I don't know anything about herbs. Like, how could I ever be an herbalist? Or, you know, and I like to tell when I'm working with, like when I teach classes, I'm like, in some way or another, you are all herbalists, right? You're just at different points on your path. And so that's just the first step in acknowledging that, like, you have this innate wisdom from your ancestry and we just need to reawaken it. Mm-hmm. And then you can share it with yourself and your family. And that might start out as just cooking with herbs, right? Or making an herbal vinegar or making that nettle tea. Mm-hmm. But the herbs really want to reach you. And yeah.
I love that. I so love that, because the whole mission of this podcast is to help there be an herbalist in every home again. And that doesn't mean that they have to go deep and be a clinical right. herbalist, but yeah, like you said, cooking with herbs, making that vinegar, doing that nettle infusion, you are still an herbalist. It's somebody who uses plants as medicine, right? Right. Is that what it is? Maybe you grow the herbs. Maybe you, yeah. There's so many different ways to look at that. I have a couple more questions that I'm like, I'm never going to let you go, Mary. Sorry, you're stuck talking with me about it.
Never let me
hours.
Go.
So on the like learning piece, like I recognize that I am extremely fortunate that I've been able to learn from a lot of different teachers. And I just want to hear from you, like, I think you've also learned from quite a few great teachers. If you want to touch upon like, who some of your most impactful and powerful teachers were, and or like what you have found to be really, really impactful from a teacher that helped you along your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for like people that might be thinking, oh, well, I do want to start learning more on this. And yeah, how would you?
Definitely. Yeah. I want to just, yeah, I guess share briefly before I talk about specific teachers that I think when choosing herbal programs, a lot of the time we are more overwhelmed with excitement and we tend to like not think as much about who these teachers are, how we align with them, or how we want to connect or what we want out of a herbal mentor. So I think that's just food for thought, because there's so many different styles of teachers out there. So really like, on these paths for each one of you, if you're on the path, find the teachers that you feel like you resonate and align with, and that will help support your education and your learning process a hundredfold. And as far as people that were impactful on my journey, I think I have to go back and talk about Ryan Drum for a second and Glenn, because
I love them both.
Yeah. I mean, I also like Dr. Anna Wieman, who was my herb teacher at NUNM, was also super fabulous. And like, she's also an ND. So it was like really cool to see her teach herbs from the more like naturopathic side and also mm-hmm. more of the folk herbalism side. And she's a mama, and that was really sweet. But Glenn and Ryan, I think, were like just really, I had really sweet, like healing. What's the right word? Like, I had really sweet healing conversations with them and experiences with them from the masculine perspective of working with masculine teachers. And for Ryan, for me, that was just like the notion of like, Ryan is, for those that you don't know Ryan, he's got to be in his later 80s now. And he lives on one of the remote islands in the San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington state. And he like built his house from the ground up, and talk about off grid. Like he didn't even have solar. Mm-hmm. And so he was like the inspiration of like, yeah, like I can live differently and I can still be an herbalist and raise my family and exist in the world in these ways I feel like I want to connect with nature. And Glenn is just like, was like, and still does. He's just like a constant, like literally like encyclopedia and like wizard for making herbs taste good.
Oh my and God, as so good.
It's like, he's the herbal mixologist, and you probably love him too with your bartending background. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as somebody that was raised more cooking with herbs, I like loved how he transformed and just did these amazing things.
Genius.
With herbs. Yeah. And then from the clinical side of things, I've been really fortunate to work in these last few years, actually, with three teachers that are all around what feels like the globe, but really British Columbia and the US. And that those teachers are Ember and Stasha and Vilda, and they all, it's Ember's school technically, which is wild currant herbs. But all the teachers work together in tandem. And I have been just so floored and supported to work with these teachers because it's such a diverse mix of educators. And what I love, love, love about them is that they really have dismantled this whole putting the teacher on the pedestal thing. And these were clinical programs I did with them. So it was just like really amazing to be a student and for them to be, instead of reading things out of a book, right? Or reading things out of like show notes, which is sometimes how it can be in school, which is also beneficial for some people. But they're like, straight up, this is my clinical experience. This is how I've seen this herb work. This is what I've also seen from my mentor. And then like, they were also like, how have you all seen these herbs work? Mm-hmm. So it's a very collaborative effort. But there's also such an emphasis in that school and that school of thought on also incorporating all of these social and economic and, you know, other injustices that are happening in the world, which just feels like places that as herbalists, we also need to be taking all that into account, whether that's with racism or gender. So I was really, really like, yeah, just, it felt like a really good fit. And I feel like I learned so much from them, and I still do mentorship sessions every now and then when I have questions about cases with clients, and they're a really compassionate group of individuals, and yeah, nice. Super grateful for them.
That sounds amazing. I haven't heard of them at all. So thank you. I'm definitely going to look them up. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I do have to ask you, have you seen the video Glenn did on Ryan?
Yes.
You made a little movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got that on DVD when I did that class when I was graduating, and I actually think I still have that, but now I just have to find a DVD player. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Our favorite part is when Ryan throws the cooler down the hill, because we don't actually like, and that's what Ram, my stepson, asked. He's like, why did you throw the cooler down the hill? And Ryan's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just like having fun. Like, what else are you going to do when you're on a remote island? Like, throw the cooler down the hill, and it's like bowling in the woods.
That's so funny. That's great. I love the movie. I got to watch it at Oshala. I was doing like herb camp at Oshala.
Wow, nice.
And Glenn was there and he did it on the back of the barn projector. It was really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, super fun. Super fun. Amazing. I have taken up so much of your time today and I feel like I could do that for so much longer. So thank you for coming on the show. I really hope that some of my listeners reach out to you and those that want to work with somebody and get to the root of whatever health issues may be happening, actually reach out for that kind of support and maybe to somebody brilliant like you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, any other last words?
Yeah, I would also just like to offer my gratitude to you and to all the listeners. And it's been really awesome to connect with you today, Mel. And yeah, I hope that in some way or another that all the listeners are just feeling the herbal pull, feeling the inspiration to get outside or go in the cupboard and
yeah,
connect with herbs and nature in some way.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers.